So we said Asara Doros Me'odav Yad Noach Lehodia Kama Erech Apayim Lefanov. So I just wanted to point out just something that I don't think we said so meduyak yesterday, just not that we said anything wrong, but just to make it sharper. The Pashup shot here might be, why did Hashem make it that there were so many Doros between Adam and Noach? Because that would flow with the first mission. The first mission said, why did Hashem create the world with Asara Ma'amaros? So too, why did Hashem make Asara Doros? But I saw that in the parish of the Yachin and the Tfaris Yisrael, he says, no, why did the Torah go out of its way to tell us about all of the Doros? Lehodia, in order to make it known to us. So it might be a question here of, is the question on why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it that way? Or why did Hashem feel it was necessary to share that information with us in the Torah? Be that as it may, let's read what for us is the second half of the second Mishnah. For Rabbeinu Yonah, it seems like it's the second Mishnah. Asara Doros mi Noach v'ad Avram. There were 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Lehodia kama erech apayim lefanov. So again, either it appears in the Torah in order to teach us something, or it appears in the, or Hashem purposely made so many Doros in order to teach us, Kama Erech Apayim Lefanav, which is the same thing we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, to show us how patient HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, right? That's what we said in the first half. But here, it's a different Nekuda. Shekol HaDoros Hayu Machisin Uvoin. All of the Doros were Machisin Ubayin, like we said in the first Mishnah, in the first half of the Mishnah, all the generations were getting HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry. But as opposed to in the previous Mishnah where it says, and then at a certain point, Hashem said, that's it, die, enough. And he brought the Mabul. Now the Mabul doesn't happen. Ad Shebo Avram Avinu V'kibel Schar Kulam. Until Avram Avinu came and he was Mekabel, the Schar of all of them. So Rabbeinu Yonah, first of all, says, why do we have the exact same Mishnah? It's just that the punchline changes. So it's obviously coming to highlight something. As opposed to before Avram was on the scene. When there's no Avram in the world, what happens when the world just keeps getting worse and worse and worse? Hashem needs to destroy it. But when Avram's on the scene, what happens? The tzaddik is megin on the door. That's what it's trying to highlight. Says Rabbeinu Yonah. Lo amru b'kan ad shenifra b'hem. It doesn't say here until he destroyed all of them or until he punished them. Ki Avram avinu mile kol ha-chesronos. V'yosa tova bi'ad kol ra'osam. Avram avinu, his goodness, his kindness, his positive behavior was hitzila min apuranos. It saved them. Noach apparently was not able to. But Avram was able to be making on the door kulo. So that's Nekuda number one here in the Mishnah. That we have the same exact construction with the change of, or forget the Mishnah. If you look at biblical history, why is it that Hashem brings a Mabul after the first 10 generations and he doesn't after the second 10 generations? Because the koach of the tzaddik to be megan. That's to protect the generation. Okay, that's Nekuda number one. Nekuda number two. It says, until he came and he was Mekabel Schar Kulam. So Rabbeinu Yonah here quotes from the Gemara in Chagiga. And he says that it's an interesting thing the way Rabbeinu Yonah presents it. He says, everyone has a chelek in Gan Eden, everyone has a chelek in Gehenim. It's interesting. You have an apartment waiting for you in Gan Eden. You have an apartment waiting for you in Gehenim. You're going to use one. You know, which keys are you going to get? So it says here that me'achashkol nitztavu lasos tova v'zeh she'eno oseh v'chavero mekayim tzivuyo v'tzivoy atzmo. Rabbeinu Yonah says that if I have a mitzvah to do, and you have a mitzvah to do, and I don't do my mitzvah, and you do your mitzvah, and then you pick up the slack, and you do my mitzvah, so you're given my chelek. Right? If your neighbor in Gan Eden doesn't make the right decisions and you make those decisions for him, so you'll get yourself a duplex apartment. You get yourself a bigger apartment. Minyona says that the next point the Mishnah is trying to stress is that if other people are supposed to do good and they're not and they're slacking off and you step up to the plate, you should be aware that you're gonna cash in big for stepping up to the plate. And then he quotes the famous pasuk in Tehillim, Eis lasos l'Hashem heferus ha'asecha. So we a lot of times quote this pasuk to mean that sometimes when it's an Eis lasos, what do you have to do? You have to be mefer the Torah. You have to go against the Torah. We're all familiar with this because this is the classic justification for Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and not really Rabbi Yehuda Nasi as we learned, but for Chazal to write down Torah Shebal Peh. How can you write down Torah Shebal Peh? Look, you're not allowed to write them. So why, when they wrote down Torah Shebal Peh and the times of the Mishnah, how can they do such a thing? Eis lasos l'Hashem, when you see it's necessary, there's a heter to even go against the Torah. That's like the drash on the pasuk. That's not the pashup shot. The pashup shot is eis lasos l'Hashem. When do you have to stand up and do something for Hashem? When everyone is being mefer the Torah, when everyone's going against the Torah, and that's what Rabbeinu Yonah tells us here. Rabbeinu Yonah tells us that what's going on here, that when it says eis lasos l'Hashem, it means b'shvil Hashem. Heferu sorasecha, achar shekula mefirim Talmud Torah. If everyone's being mefer Talmud Torah, yoser hu ata eis lasos b'shvil Hashem, mishara doros. That you see that this is a time you got to step up and do something. We've spoken about this before. We need to learn to take initiative. The makom she'en ish, ishtadil lios anashim. The makom she'en anashim, excuse me, ishtadil lios ish. When you see that other people aren't stepping up, and I think I told you the story when I was working in a particular sleepaway camp, that was a great camp, but not known so much for its rigorous Talmud Torah. That wasn't what the camp stood out for, its rigorous Talmud Torah. And I had a good friend who said, you know, this is ridiculous. We're sitting here, we're learning in a kollel, we're learning all day, and no one else in the camp is doing any learning. You know, they have their chinuch groups, you know, once a day, but come on, there isn't real Talmud Torah going on. Going to the canteen at night. Look what's going on. So he said, if you give the shiur, I'll advertise it. And he used to go into the canteen late at night, 11 o'clock at night, and get up on a table and announce there's going to be a shiur, there's going to be tons of food, it's going to be interesting. We came up with all these, you know, provocative topics, titles, in order to get people into the room. And we offered food and, you know, interesting, you know, I don't mean provocative in a negative sense, in an inappropriate sense, but I'm saying the different titles that were eye-catching or that would draw people into the room. And it wasn't our normal, you know, that became Night Seder. Night Seder, we should be sitting and learning a Tosfos and a Rashba and a Ketzos. That's right. That's beautiful. But if you're someplace and you see that there's hundreds of people just sitting around not learning, you got to step up. You got to do something. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says here. And that's what it's trying to teach us about Avram. Avram Avinu, what was so special? Before Avram came on the scene, nobody stood up. So what happened? The world got destroyed. But after Avram came on the scene, the world wasn't destroyed. Why? Because Avram stood up and he did something, right? The first nekuda we said is because Avram was a tzaddik and he was megan on the door. But now Rabbeinu Yonah is stressing something else. It's not just that he was pious and therefore he saved everybody. It's that he mamish went out and did things in order to inspire people. He learned extra. Maybe he didn't go and give a shiur. Maybe it just meant that instead of going to sleep at 11 o'clock after a full day of learning, he realized, you know what, I got to push an extra hour because nobody's learning. I got to push an extra hour. I heard once that Rav Nevensol is very machbit to learn on Erev Shabbos because he says Erev Shabbos is when very few people are learning. And Betzedek, they're helping out in the house, they're getting ready for Shabbos, they're showering the kids, you know, I don't know. Tasting the potato kugel, you know, all the important things that need to be done on Erev Shabbos. So he said that, who's learning then on Erev Shabbos? So he said that it's pushing. You need to put extra kochos in on Erev Shabbos to learn because Eis Lasos L'Hashem. And he ends here, Moshel Amelech. We'll end with this. Kol Avodav Bogdim Bo. Imagine a Melech. All of his Avodim are rebelling against him. Chutz Me'echad. But there's one loyal Eved. If he sees he's the only Eved who's standing by the king, he's got to put in extra time. He's got to be extra dedicated because no one else is. And obviously, there's going to be a tremendous Ava Rabba of the king for him because he really stood up. And he at the time the king was in trouble, he stood up. And I think that's the the message that the Mishnah is trying to teach us, that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is bringing out from this message, is the importance of realizing that there are times when we need to stand up and we need to put a little extra learning in. We need to go a little bit maybe beyond what we would normally do because we see that it's a tzorech hasha.